Get your ears wrapped around the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. All the scoop you need to know, from college basketball to the NBA and even March Madness. News of your rising stars. Topics on and off the hardwood. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast.
Good morning, everyone. You are tuned in to the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Pauline, and we are the champions, my friends. So, clearly, I'm not going to be the next Beyonce. However, we are the champions. Our men's and women's teams both took home gold in the Rio Olympic Games, which we've been kind of discussing these last few weeks, at least the last few episodes, that both of our teams were basically predicted to win gold, and that they each kind of had a few, you know, games where we were kind of like questioning what was going on. I think the men's team was a little bit more than the women's team. However, in the end, they were able to pull it out, and our men's team played actually for the gold medal, they played Serbia. And Serbia actually defeated Australia to play Team USA. And Serbia defeated Serbia. Excuse me. Wow. And so Serbia actually defeated Australia in the semifinals, 87-61, which was also a really good game. I was kind of hoping that Australia would win that game. And I know, I guess in a way, Australia was kind of like my secret number two team that I had in my mind. I've been kind of speaking on Australia a little bit these last few episodes, and I think it is because I had them as my second favorite behind the United States. But the U.S. in the semifinals faced off against Spain, and we discussed in the last episode when we were discussing Olympic basketball play, was that the United States were really fortunate in this, the way that these brackets were set up, to play against either Spain or France and not have to play against one of those teams in the quarterfinals and then play against another one of those teams out of Spain and France for the semifinals. So we got off kind of, I guess in a way, a little easy by only having to face off against Spain. And we defeated Spain 82-76. So that was a very good game as well. It wasn't another blowout for the Team USA. And so for the bronze medal, it went to Spain, who defeated Australia by 1 point. So that, too, was a really good game. Because, I've kind of talked about this before, how I love it when our team blows out other teams, because it's just nice to have a guaranteed win. But then it's also kind of fun, and I don't know if it's more exciting, because it can be a lot more stressful. I don't know. For me, I get a little bit stressed when I watch my games watch my teams play, and it's like really close games down to the wire. I get like really, really stressed out. And so I'm sure if you were for Team Australia or Team Spain, that you were kind of like, you know, stressed out watching that game and kind of weary on who was going to pull out, basically. And luckily for us, Team USA, we matched up against Serbia, and that was a lot easier game for us. We won 96-66, so 30 points right there. And so I think it kind of went in a way how we were hoping and how Team USA kind of like predicted. We were predicting to pull out with the gold medal, especially, both of our basketball teams. We're going to talk about women's national team in just a moment. But with our men's national team, you know, we we expected them to win. There were a few shaky points throughout, you know, even group play. And so there were like a few times when we were a little bit shaky, but ultimately, like, I think one person, like DeMarcus Cousins, I kind of touched on with him how there was the one game where he fouled out in the first 9 minutes. And that just, I think, goes, okay, so before I had mentioned, usually if you're one of your guys, a starter, is fouling out that early in a game, that's not good at all, and that's bad for your team, and how it can be sometimes hard for your team to adjust. But then because this was a team of NBA All-Stars playing against international teams who their talent wasn't as high as ours, that it was okay in a way that he was fouling out. But I think that DeMarcus fouling out and having, you know, just getting into foul trouble, like consistently getting into foul trouble, is just goes again to the style of play and the rules. And they are told the rule differences and things like that, because international play, the rules differ a little bit, like how many fouls they're allowed, the distance of things, and just the time of the games, like the length of the games is different. Everything's just a tad bit different. Essentially, it's the same, but whatever. So I think that's something that Team USA has to kind of look at, is how are some of our players adjust, because getting into foul trouble does, you know, hurt the team. One, if you foul out because you're a player that we can't use anymore. And then if you're getting in foul trouble and if you're fouling on the shot, then you're giving away free points. You have the potential to give away free points and things like that. And so that can sometimes hurt your team. And I think that's why a lot of people like Carmelo during international play, is because he really fits the international style. And that's why he's able to just do really well when they play in these international tournaments and play in the Olympics. And so that was kind of like my piece about DeMarcus. I don't think it's because he's too wild or anything like that. I think it's just mostly with the different style of play, he doesn't quite fit. And I don't know if that's something, well, it just seemed like right now at this time, he doesn't quite fit. And he, I'm sure, was trying to make those adjustments to try to, you know, nobody wants to foul out all the time and get into foul trouble and things like that right away. And so I think that's something that he's moving forward, if he still wants to compete at the international level with Team USA on our national team. I think that's something that they have to really work on when it comes to him, is that transition between the two styles when he's playing for, like, in the league versus playing internationally. And that's just something that I was thinking throughout this entire tournament, was that that's just something that he's going to have to adjust. And there are players that do adjust well. Carmelo Anthony, you know, Ginobili has decided he's no longer playing for his international team, for his nation's team, excuse me, because, like I said, there's a lot of guys that we have been watching in this Rio Olympics that this is our last time we're going to see them compete at the international level or just compete in the Olympics again. They may still, you know, maybe next year play on some international tournaments and things like that. But as far as the Olympics are concerned, this is the last that we've seen for a lot of these great players. And speaking of players retiring from their national teams, LeBron has come out and in a recent interview, and he said that, because I think, okay, so guys like LeBron James, Steph Curry, Chris Paul, we had mentioned Anthony Davis kind of had to sit out due to injury. A lot of these guys are choosing to sit out from the past Olympics, this Rio Olympics, due to just wanting to rest and take some just personal time, because, you know, this is their off season. And so, but then a guy like LeBron, like when you're watching, and some, I'm sure all these other guys, because Anthony Davis mentioned before that he really wishes that he was able to compete on the national team during this Olympics. And I think a lot of them would want to. And LeBron has mentioned that he has not retired from Team USA. He's just kind of taking like a break right now. And so perhaps we will be seeing him in 2020. on the national team in the Olympics, which would be kind of a lot of fun. But then that may be the last time that he competes in an Olympic. So I don't know. There's just like a lot of variables, because as the guys get older, because the Olympics are only every 4 years, you have a lot of chances to compete in the Olympics for some of these guys, but then your age kind of dictates how many Olympics you can participate in. So we're actually going to cut to a quick break. And when we come back, I want to discuss our gold medal women's basketball team, as well as some other things that's happening around in hoops news throughout like the league and throughout. We've been discussing a little bit about college basketball. So there's some things about college basketball and some of the international play that I wanted to discuss. So keep it locked here. You're listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
In the Olympics this go around. However, they want to still be in the Olympics, like on the national team, you know, due to various reasons. There's a lot of these guys who did not compete this Olympics, but want to stay on the team and want to perhaps the next Olympics compete at that level and have the opportunity to win gold medals. Because now, gold medals are different than winning rings. And I mean, I'll never have the opportunity to win either one because I'm not going to play in the WNBA and I'm not going to play on the national team. So I don't have the opportunity to compete for either one of those accolades, either one of those, you know, at that level to compete for a ring or to compete for a gold medal. And I had mentioned in a previous podcast that Carmelo Anthony did mention that he doesn't have to win a ring because he's got medals and he feels that he has won a lot of other notable accolades that he doesn't feel without. And DeAndre Jordan has also brought this up in a recent interview, that he doesn't mind just winning gold medals. And so I kind of get it as far as their winning a gold medal and winning a ring are, I think, two separate things, because they're two different, essentially like two different leagues, I guess you could say, for lack of a better way to describe it, because you have the NBA and then you have this internationally renowned tournament that is literally watched around the world. And I know NBA basketball is watched around the world, but I had joked previously that there's sports that during the Olympics that I watch that I never care about, that I don't even think about the other 3 years in between Olympics, but then I care about them during the Olympic time. There's just sports that I think we all kind of do that, you know, like there's, like for me, fencing, and then certain track and field events that I don't even, like, I know that they exist, but I don't think about them and I don't care about them until it's the Olympics. And then I'm like, yes, look at us, look, you know, and see all the things that just you know, your country, like just being proud to be, have your country like represented. It's just a time when you're just proud of your country being so highly represented. And I think that winning a gold medal and winning a ring is different, but then I don't know how they compare, because like I said, I'm never going to have that opportunity. But Carmelo Anthony already has kind of said that he, again, is okay without winning a ring because he has gold medals and things like that. And then DeAndre Jordan has kind of come out and said that he feels that winning this gold medal in Rio, because this is before they actually won the gold medal, but now that they have won the gold medal, that he was saying that winning a gold medal in Rio means a whole lot, because you're not just playing against your peers in your league. And every year, basically he was saying like every year we crown a finals champion, you know, like we crown a champion for the NBA, but that the Olympics, when you win gold and when you win that tournament, it's only 4 years. It's only every 4 years. So it's a little bit different, he was saying, because one, you're playing on an international stage and you're competing against international teams. So these are not guys that you are able to compete against often. And then that there can only be one winner every 4 years. So it's a little bit more rare. It's more special. And I kind of do get that. But then again, like I said, is it... And DeAndre even said, I possibly could get in trouble, like he could get in trouble for saying that, because it's like, dude, so because you guys are winning medals, you guys aren't caring about NBA rings. And I guess it could kind of get misconstrued. And I mean, I don't know. I just think that there are two different things in that. But I kind of get it from their point of view. But as like a fan and as like an organization, I wouldn't be really happy if my players are saying, oh, it's okay if we don't win rings because I have a medal and things like that. So I don't know. So that's that with the men's side of things. And then so our women's national team has won their 49th consecutive Olympic win, and which means that they have won their 6th consecutive gold medal. And they were kind of getting a little bit of, I don't know if I mentioned this already, kind of like some backlash saying like, oh, like there was critics saying, oh, is it fair that our women's team is so dominant when competing against international teams? And is that fair? And how can we make it so it kind of like we even out the playing field? And it's like, I don't like that at all, because you, just because the team is so dominant, like everybody needs to play harder. Everybody else needs to, you know, come, like if you know that they're playing at this high of a caliber, this high of a level, then up your game. You know, like this is not Parks and Rec. This is not everybody gets a participation ribbon, you know, things like that. So our women's national team actually beat Spain 101-72 for the gold medal. And then the bronze medal game was France and Serbia, where Serbia came out 70-63. And so it was, again, another great game for Team USA, our women's team. They basically blew out Spain, and there's not really much to say when it comes to that, because like I said, our women's team has been blowing people out. And I don't know, like, you're not gonna, we don't, it's the professional level, and if a team is blowing others out, you can't feel bad. And you can't try to figure out how to break this up, especially when it's the Olympics, I think, because you send your best to represent your country. And this is our best, our women's team, actually all the women that competed in the Olympics this year, and all the men too, you know, because of course, you may or may not know, we had over 120 gold medals, I think it was. So we really dominated as just a whole country in these Olympics. And so, we had 121 medals overall, just in general, with the medals, gold, silver, and bronze. We had 121 medals overall for our men's and women's, national teams. And so that, we're going to cut it to a quick break real quickly. And when we come back, there's some NCAA things that I want to touch on, and as well as where our All-Star game is going to be held. So keep it locked here, and you're listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch, whatever it may be.
Wrap up this episode. We're cutting it to a close soon. And before the break, I was discussing a little, like I had mentioned, that there's some other things that are happening around basketball that I wanted to talk about. And so a couple of episodes ago, we discussed how they are, organizations are pulling out of Charlotte, and that the NBA pulled the All-Star game out of North Carolina as well for 2017. And then we talked about how the NCAA is considering using anti-discrimination laws as part of some of the factors that they consider when picking host teams for tournaments. And it is official that our next All-Star game, 2017, will be held in New Orleans. And that's, I mean, it's a good thing. I'm excited, you know, because we had mentioned that they would have to find a new location soon, because people, there's a lot that goes into planning these huge events, and especially an event like this that is so popular amongst fans and just in basketball in general. So the 2017 All-Star Game is going to be held in New Orleans, and LeBron kind of came up earlier in the episode when I was discussing how he doesn't want, like, he doesn't feel like he's retired from Team USA, and that he's not retired from Team USA at all. He's just sat out this Olympics. But in a recent interview, when he was discussing what he was looking, like, what he thought his future would hold, he is, the one thing about LeBron, he did sign a major contract extension with the Cavaliers, if you didn't know. And the one thing about LeBron that I actually really admire is that he's a businessman. He does make a lot of money. Like, he makes a really good chunk of change in the NBA. However, a lot of his, the bulk of his money doesn't even come from that. It comes from all the other ventures that he has invested in and started and things like that. And so he's actually said in a recent interview that he also would like to own a team, that eventually when he retires and things like that, that he would like to own a team. And so that just, he never ceases to amaze me when it comes to like the business side of him. And I always think that whoever's in his corner, a lot of those guys in his close, his family, I'm sure, and the guys that he, or and girls too, like the people that he surrounds himself to make these decisions, you know, he does, and they're doing a really good job in building his empire. And so that's pretty exciting. I mean, I can definitely see LeBron owning a team, and I don't think that he'll ever not be involved in some capacity with a team, whether it's, but I guess he wants to own it. So he didn't say anything much about like coaching, maybe more like owning a team. And in other cool news about contracts, we talked about also that this year with like the new salary cap and things, like a lot of people are wanting to come back, and a lot of people are just getting paid a lot more because there's like more money to go around. And the Lakers actually signed Yi Jianlian to a 1 year, $8 million with contract, a 1 year contract worth $8 million with 1.2 guaranteed for this season. Now, Yi was actually picked number 6 in the 2007 draft by the Bucks, but he, you know, sometimes, like I said, the style of play is different, and sometimes it is harder for some players to make a transition. So he actually was a really major dominant force for in the CBA, and so he actually is coming back. He's stronger, he's older, he's wiser, he has a lot more experience, and so he was actually he's a big guy, and so he is actually was averaging over in the CBA from the 3-point line, he was averaging over 37%, and so we know that now we're kind of doing this thing where bigs are shooting from the outside perimeter and shooting 3-pointers, and they're faster and they have a little bit more aspects to their game. So it's going to be interesting to see how he does this stint and this time around in the NBA with given, like, you know, the fact that he's been able to take these last few years and kind of like grow and change and develop in his game. He's a lot stronger and bigger than he was when he first was drafted in 2007. So I'm actually kind of excited to see what comes of this. It is a 1 year contract, so, you know, it's kind of like a tester to see what he can do and see how he's changed. And with the new style of game that is kind of like developing in the NBA right now, to see if he really fits. And I mean, they have the money to do it, so why not? Again, that's just another thing. It's kind of like the ugly beauty of the new salary cap is that a lot of guys are going to be able to get chances and get more money and get, you know, teams are able to take some risks with some of these players because they have the money to just kind of bring them on. I mean, it's 1.2 million guaranteed. That's not bad. You know, to just try to break back into the NBA for a guy like that. And I mean, if all else fails, it's a 1 year contract. He can always go back and do his thing back in the CBA and just be a dominant force there, which is not bad either. And so, this next thing that this like next piece of news is actually kind of more random, and it's kind of, I just thought it was kind of cool and exciting. I personally am not a fisher woman. I don't fish. I don't really like fishing. I mean, I'll go. I haven't been in a while, but I would go. I don't really watch the fishing channel. I don't keep up with it, anything like that. But I know that it's a sport that a lot of people enjoy. And Wilson Chandler of the Denver Nuggets was actually doing a show like on a YouTube channel where he was asked to be on the show. And so he's fishing, right? And he catches a 300-pound grouper off, I guess, the coast of Jupiter, Florida, I think it was. So off of Florida. But the mic wasn't on when they were recording this. And like they were just having some technical difficulties. So that part didn't get like in the show, but then so they continued to go fishing and all of that, and so he actually then goes on to catch a 400-pound grouper, and they catch this all on film. So it was actually a bigger fish than the one that he caught the time before, and so I just thought that that's kind of like funny and kind of cool because these guys have other talents and do a lot of other things in their off season, and he's actually going to be featured on this YouTube channel because of this humongous catch. And I don't know what it looked like. I mean, I saw pictures of how big this fish is, but like I couldn't imagine seeing a 400-pound fish in life. Like, I don't know. That sounds creepy. It sounds kind of like something out of like a sci-fi episode or something like that. But hey, I mean, underwater, there's a lot of things that I'm sure we don't even know exist because they're constantly finding things. But that was just kind of like my fun piece on what some guys are doing in the off season. Bryant University is also on an international tour right now. They're in Italy, which is really cool. And I asked one of my friends because he played overseas and things like that. And we were eating, and I kind of asked him, like, why is it that a lot of these teams go to Italy, and why is Italy such like a hot spot? It's like a popular spot for a lot of American players to go overseas. Like, a lot of, I have quite a few friends that go play in Italy and things like that. And he was saying that it's more like an up-tempo type basketball. So it's very similar to the style of play that we see here in the States. So I was like, okay, that makes sense and things like that. But anyway, so there was actually an earthquake in Italy, and Bryant University, they were supposed to have a game, and it actually got canceled because it was near like the epicenter of this earthquake. And so they weren't able to have their game, and they're all okay, thankfully. But tragically, that earthquake, did claim some lives. So a lot of people were concerned because, you know, they're away, and it was a really bad earthquake. And so luckily, that team is okay, and they were able to stay safe and things like that. I know that UC Davis basketball team, they just landed in Costa Rica, and they are getting ready to start that stint there. And it's just a lot of fun and kind of cool that this summer there's a lot of teams. And I know that every, you know, team you get eligible, and that's something that some teams actually even use to recruit guys, is discussing places that they are in the works of visiting for an international tour. So it's pretty cool, you know, how these teams are able to go overseas and play and get to just get to see the world. So that's actually going to do it for this episode of the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Pauline, and of course you can tweet me at GSMC_basketball. You can follow us there at Twitter. You can listen to this episode, any previous and future episodes, on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. And of course, on our network website, gsmcpodcast.com.